We thank you for the word. And as the word is proclaimed, may it find a spot in our hearts that will bind us to you like never before. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
A display of bipartisan unity at this critical moment in U.S. history.
I think it was just off the cuff. Somebody started singing. I think they learned something out of being stuck.
There was the second plane that came around and slammed into the building.
When he went to work, his mom said goodbye to him, a big kiss, and never saw him again.
And I said, oh God, John, please get out of there safely.
We're at the corner of Lexington and 26th Street in Manhattan. We're at the Armory, where hundreds of families are lined up behind me trying to get information about their missing loved ones. They're asking for all...
When we first arrived there, my producer Miriam Falco and I, we were concerned because we did not want to thrust ourselves at these people.
This woman right here...
We felt very strongly that if they didn't want to talk to us, we didn't want to talk to them and we weren't going to hound them.
I'm looking for my older nephew.
But in fact, it was the opposite.
We've been here for 2 hours. They told us twice they'd take us next day.
They sought us out.
And I have here with me Vinny Kamaj.
Several different people stand out in my mind from September, and one of them is Vinny Kamaj. He was the first interview that I did on camera. He was looking for his father. His father was a window washer at the World Trade Center.
If you think your father might be out there somewhere, what would you want to say to him?
I want to tell him that we all miss him. His little nephew, Luke, misses him. And that we're strong. We got hope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron, I've been talking to these families for 2 days now, and all of these stories are very much like this. People are just hoping that their relatives are out there somewhere, and they're begging us.
It was just so moving to hear from this young man how he was just searching and searching for his father.
If anybody see my daughter.
He has a daughter, 7 months old.
I want him to come home.
But we're not going to give up until we find you. We love you.
When you interview person after person who is missing someone who is so special to them, so important, fathers, mothers, sisters, wives, husbands, children, I don't know how you can help but cry.
This is part of the prelude to this prayer service that was called yesterday by President Bush when he said today would be a day of national prayer and remembrance.
a striking picture if you just look at the pews. Of you see the former presidents, you see Al Gore there.
So many have suffered so great a loss. And today we express our nation's sorrow.
The most interesting moment of the day was after the president spoke and he came back and sat down in the pew, and his father reached across and just grabbed his hand. And it was sort of an attaboy, or good for you.
Five years ago, our nation was united. Once in my lifetime, it seems as though we spoke with one voice. I hope that that first clip was evidence of something unifying that happened on a grand scale. Anytime that you can see Democrats and Republicans singing together, God Bless America, impromptu, there was something unifying about the events of 9/11. In the final clip, the National Day of Prayer at the Washington Cathedral, with our President George Bush and his wife leading the way, with our former president, George Herbert Walker Bush, and Gerald Ford, and Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton, and the vice presidents, Vice President Cheney, former Vice President Al Gore, and their spouses, all there together, all seated together to pray for our nation. And if you might remember the events of 9/11, shortly after then, nearly everyone had a flag displayed at their home or on their vehicle. But I'd like to ask you, in 5 years, what has happened to our nation? I don't know if you would agree with me, but we today are anything but unified. Today, to say the words Democrats and Republicans brings ire on both sides. There seems to be a division in our nation and in our world. Hezbollah and Israel. The Chargers and the Raiders, the Cowboys and the Redskins, the Prius and the Hummer, and now the other eight planets against Pluto. Will our world, will our nation ever be unified? What is unity? I want to speak about that today. What is unity? Webster defines unity as the state or quality of being one. The state or quality of being on one accord. Harmony. Every organization and institution that I have ever been associated with, and I'd venture to say the same for you, has made a concerted effort to move toward greater unity. But I have found that in all of those institutions, the harder we seem to defend and promote unity, sometimes the more divisive unity becomes, and the reality is that it seems as we reach for it to be pulling apart. There are a lot of problems that, or areas that impact unity or the lack of it. I might give you some pointers to look as we address the issue of unity. One of the areas that you need to look for, and you can be sure that this is a buzzword that will let you know that if the organization functions in this way, it will soon pull apart instead of coming together. And that word is a word that's used in relationships centers, and that is always. That word is a buzzword for pulling apart. In other words, we always do it this way. Now, I believe in absolutes. But I don't believe that we should apply absolutes in every instance on institutions. And in fact, if you have an institution today that says we always do it this way, it's a pretty good chance that that institution is on the decline. Number two, an area that you need to watch in regards to unity. If Group B says that if everybody in Group B would just agree with Group A, then everything will be fine. That's another evidence that you're pulling apart, not coming together. I'm talking about unity. Because what happens in this second scenario, Group B says that if everyone in Group A comes and joins and agrees with my group, it assumes that agreement is achieved when there's surrender or assimilation. And really, that's pulling apart, not coming together. And number three, you want to get this one. If you're asleep, if the person is asleep next to you, punch them and wake them up. Because they want to get this. This is the area where most institutions and organizations make a mistake regarding unity. Now, first of all, unity is oneness. That's a true statement. I believe that. Unity is oneness. If you agree with me on that, could you say amen? Unity is oneness. But here's the area where most institutions and organizations fall. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is not uniformity. We fail to realize that we come from different backgrounds, different regions of the country. We're made up of different families, different cultures and backgrounds. And so unity is not uniformity. That's where we get off. Is there an answer to the issues of unity? I believe there is. I believe the scriptures speak to that and gives us clues. And I want you to clue in on this because this is important. First of all, God created us with free will. Do you believe that? It is one of the most important concepts in Christianity. Free will. It is one of the reasons why I love God. He gives me free will. That means we can choose to be unified or not. But a clue to where I'm going is Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 through 9. Now I'll read it for you. And war broke out in where? No, it can't be. Is that what the Bible says? War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought But they did not prevail, nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. And guess where he was cast out? To this earth. The Bible says he was cast to this earth. And the Bible goes on in verse 12 of chapter 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you. And he has great wrath. He's angry because he knows he has a short time. So if he caused a problem in heaven with unity, and he comes down to this earth, do you think the devil likes unity? No. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And you know the dialogue. He says to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? In verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's the old devil that we just saw in Revelation chapter 12 coming down to earth. He gets right on into the heart of issue and messes things up. Do you think we as a nation and as a world will ever be unified apart from God? Let me share with you some areas where I believe we're all in the same boat. It's common to all of us. We can all be unified in these points. The Bible gives them to us. First, we read it in chapter 7, in chapter 17 of Acts, the 26th through the 31st verse, and it's the title of the message. Do you know we come, as the Bible says, from one blood? Do you know that? Regardless of your color, of your shade, do you know we are all of one blood? Regardless, now, the governor made an error. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said about one of the representatives that she was Latino and she was hot. Because she had Latino blood and African-American blood together, so she was hot, talking about her temperament. This is what the governor said. Now, let me correct the governor. Not only did she have Latino blood and African-American blood, but she had Caucasian blood, all kinds of blood. You know why? Because we are made of one blood. We are all of the same people. We come from a common ancestry. We all come from Adam and Eve. Can we all agree on that? Can we be unified on that point? We should be unified on that point. We all come from Adam and Eve, and they come from God. Amen? I agree on that. You say, why even spend any time on that? Do you know that there are theories out there right now, theories by the white supremacists, theories by black Muslims that say otherwise? I won't go into details on that. But I'm letting you know, we are all, look to the person behind you. If you look to the person next to you, it won't work because they're probably the same color. Look to the person behind you. That's your brother and your sister. When we use that term, we're literally saying that. Number two, what's common to all of us unifies all of us is that we are sinners. All of us. Look to the person next to you. They are sinners. And you can all look at me. We are all sinners. In fact, the Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? I know how much you love your legislatures and your politicians, but you know they are all sinners. I know you love your political party, but they're all sinners. And we all come from one blood. Amen? Oh, I know I'm in trouble today, but that's okay. I think we can all agree on this. And you know what else is common to all of us? Romans 14, and you can start at verse 10 and read that in your own spare time. For we, the Bible says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Common to all of us, we shall all have to give an account to God. Every one of us. We're all one blood. We're all sinners. Saved by grace. Amen. What's common to us, we'll all have to give an account to God at the judgment. Now, this one might be a little more harder for you to grasp, but I believe it's true. If you would turn to the book of Acts, I want you to see this passage. Acts chapter 4. And I'll read very quickly, starting at verse 10. Acts chapter 4. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Common to all of us, we all come by way of the cross. Even those who do not know it still come by way of the cross. So we are unified in those things. John 17, read sometime in your own spare time. One of the last things that Jesus had to say to us was that we might be one as he was one with his Father. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I'll tell you, I am challenged by the whole concept of unity. Personally, I like unity. I'm hurt when I am connected, and instead of unity, appears to be division and pulling apart. That personally hurts me. I believe that unity is of God. And you know what I think happens sometimes? I was sharing in the first service. I wonder how our younger Christians and those who do not know Christianity or anything about it, how do they feel about the fact that we all call the name of Christ, but there appears to be many different faiths. It challenges me, and evidently it challenged someone else. Well, the LA Times about 3 weeks ago had a story about a unique problem that was being faced in Stafford, Texas. Don, I was wondering where Stafford, Texas was, and they said it was around Houston and Sugar Land. Now, Sugar Land, I don't have any idea where Sugar Land is. But Stafford, Texas is a town of 20,000 people. And the municipal leaders were scratching their head because they had 51 churches in a town of 20,000. And they only had 300 acres of land left that they wanted developed. And they wanted to hold that land aside for business purposes. And so they went back and interviewed the last six churches and tried to figure out why did you come to Stafford, Texas? And each one of them said, "We prayed about it, and God told us to come." How do you know? If you were to go to Stafford, Texas, and you went and you didn't have a church, how would you know which one of the 51 to go to? How would you know which one of the 51? All of them have Jesus written on them. Let me share something, what I believe. True unity. Would somebody go in and stop whoever's throwing airplanes in the... in fact, ask them to come out. I really don't want to see that anymore as long as I'm pastoring here. Unity is being in here, hearing the word of God. Being on one accord, like-minded, and go outside and throw airplanes. And if it's your children, you need to talk with them afterwards. I'm sorry to do that. I just had to do that. What I believe really makes unity. How do you know which one of the 51 to pick from? Is truth. I believe what really makes unity work is truth. Because that is opposite of the devil. What did the devil do the first time he had an opportunity? He lied. Look for truth. I believe that so strongly brings unity. Uniformity? I'm not interested in whether or not you're exactly like me. But I do believe that we can be in one accord and like-minded regarding our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to so bind us together that all the other things about the differences in eating and they're there, but it will not divide us. I want to say this. Because if I don't say this, I just know that it will be used to divide. there's been talk about the need for a youth pastor. And I absolutely 100% know that this is something that we need. Amen? We've talked about it. We've talked about it over and over. I'm really working on it. And we're going to be talking about that Thursday. And working on that to make that come to pass, whatever that means, or whatever, how that works out. But I had nothing to do with my sermon on unity. I just want to say that straight up. I had planned this when I knew 9/11 was coming. I had already planned months ago to talk about it. I just want you ought to know that. Amen? Because if not, you'll think that I'm not being honest and I'm playing games like you have seen other people play. I believe to really have true unity, you've got to be honest. And so all of the underlying things that are there sometimes have to come out. Amen. They just have to come out. You just can't keep hiding them and thinking that they're going to go away. I want the church that I pastor to be unified on their love for Jesus Christ. Is that all right? I want us to be like-minded on the fact that it's Him and it's Him alone. All the other stuff I can deal with. But I want to make sure that you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul. How can two walk together unless they agree? And they must first agree. I agree that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Do you believe that? Can that bind us together? Is that not enough? Is that not enough? It is. It's enough. Let's pray. Father, oh, how we struggle for unity. And we should. For unity is of God. It's oneness. But Lord, oh, how we want to bring in uniformity. And that is not of God. It's of our own mind, our own making. Uniformity is not bound up in truth. Then, Lord, let it not be divisive. Your people. Bless us, Lord, as we move forward in faith. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, do you know what's going to happen? I want you to hear this. There is coming in this world, Revelation chapter 13. If you don't read any other chapter in the Bible, you need to read Revelation chapter 13. Do you know that there's coming a day when there is going to be a false unity in faith? Did you hear what I said? There is going to be a false unity in faith. Lord, I want to make sure, Lord, that when that day comes, that I will know without a shadow of a doubt that it is you that I worship. Not the beast in his image, not man and all of his things, not the false sense of worship, but it is you. When that day comes, Lord, strengthen me, strengthen this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.